Thank you, First Christian Church. I want to say thank you for your decades of partnership with Lafayette Urban Ministry, and thank you for your kindness to me personally. My name is Wes Tillett. I serve as Executive Director of LUM, and I was a youth pastor back in the 2003 to 2006 timeframe here at First Christian Church. Thinking of your partnership with LUM, over the years, you have done a fantastic job with Jubilee Christmas. You've hosted at one time our youth programs. We're operating out of here for a season. You continue to utilize your parking lot as we have a food pantry next door at St. John's on Mondays and Thursdays, allow our volunteers to work with that. Over the years, well, since 2012, that's as far back as I could see, First Christian Church has given $95,932.25 to Lafayette Urban Ministry. That's a heck of a lot of money. That's wonderful. Yeah. That's counting everything you give to Jubilee Christmas and flows through there. But I am very grateful for your partnership with us. I have a picture of my family here. This is my team, and with you remember me from 2003, I had hair back in those days, and I had the energy to play hide and seek throughout this building all night long, multiple times a year with the teenagers, and I loved my time here. It was really wonderful. I saw the slide on the screen already that kind of highlights that LUM is a faith-based community-wide effort to tackle basic human needs and uplift the people of Greater Lafayette. 16 programs, kind of 5 different areas, and those 2 foci of tackling human needs and uplifting people, and all with the goal of glorifying God. We get our marching orders from Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. It says, "Whatever you did for the least of these, you did to me." And we rally around that. We're not just serving people like we would serve Jesus, but in serving people, we are truly serving Jesus, Jesus himself. I'd like to say a brief prayer and then talk about being heard and seen locally. Please join me in prayer. God, thank you for this congregation, their decades of faithfulness. Thank you for the reminder that we are moving into glory land. We pray that your glory of justice and peace, of confidence, compassion, and generosity would move into our hearts in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, heard and seen locally. On December 14th, I came to the church and went downstairs and saw your Jubilee Christmas happening once again, as you do annually. You guys do a fantastic job. They're so hospitable. I saw so much generosity. When Jubilee Christmas was starting back in the 1980s, LUM was doing it differently. LUM was directly connecting donors with low-income families. And the donors would go to the home of the low-income family and bring all the gifts and the food. And it was like being Santa Claus. And LUM was feeling very good about this. Until one January day, a mom poked her head in the office of the LUM executive directors, Joe Dolphin, and said, "Hey, Reverend, I really appreciate the way you made that connection for me and my family for Christmas. My kids would not have had a Christmas if that nice family didn't bring the toys over. And we wouldn't have had a Christmas meal if they hadn't brought the ham and all the fixings over." And then she leaned forward. She said, "But next year, Reverend, could you do it in a way that I get to be the hero with my kids, rather than some stranger walking in the door and giving my kids all the things that I am not able to provide as a parent?" Poof. What a question, right? I mean, straight to the heart. Heard and seen. Because the next year, Judd Dolphin made sure that we did it differently at Lafayette Urban Ministry. He started calling it Jubilee Christmas. And rather than the donors going to the homes of people, donors would take gifts and food to a church. And then the parents would go to the church and pick out gifts and pick out food, and the parents would return home with Christmas. The parents were made the heroes of their families, of their children's Christmas. I love it. Heard and seen locally. There were 20 families at one location on that first Jubilee Christmas. In December, there were 675 families representing 1,948 children at 28 different sites for Jubilee Christmas. And one of the very biggest and most generous sites is right here at First Christian Church. You guys do a wonderful job rolling out the red carpet for the guests. Thank you for hearing and seeing the needs of people locally. Parents who are struggling to provide food, clothes, Christmas stocking stuffers for their kids. I'm proud of you and I'm grateful for you. And I encourage you, as we'll read in this scripture, to keep on doing the things that are true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, and commendable. And if we continue to live this way, God offers us something extraordinary. That something is peace. This week of compassion is built around Philippians 4, 8, and 9. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is urging Christ followers to keep on thinking excellent things and doing the things they've heard and seen in Paul. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, keep on doing them, and the God of peace will be with you. This week of compassion picks up on that theme, heard and seen. And Paul's saying, what you've heard and seen in me, put that into practice. Keep on doing that. Which makes me think, what would the people back then in the church of Philippi have heard and seen in Paul? I think they would have heard several things. Here's four. They would have definitely heard Paul talking about Jesus Christ. As of first importance, they would have heard Paul proclaiming to them that Christ died for sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that afterwards he appeared to more than 500 people before he ascended into heaven. Heard. These early Christians likely would have seen Paul working as a tent maker, providing for his own needs. And they would have heard Paul commend generosity, as Paul quoted Jesus saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And they would have witnessed Paul teaching, if we have food and clothes, we'll be content with that. To which I think, whew, I got a long way to go. Food and clothes, I'll be content with that. The church of Philippi would have seen Paul confident that he was heard and seen by God. And in that confidence, he had compassion to hear and see the needs of others and be moved by the Holy Spirit with generosity towards those needs of others. I'm convinced that Paul was able to hear and see the needs of others because he knew he was always heard and seen by God. When we realize we are heard and seen by God, we are empowered to hear and see others. And when we feel like nobody hears us, nobody sees us, nobody cares, we spend most of our times worrying about who? Ourselves. We have very little left to share with others. How liberating it is to know that you are heard and seen. Let's just zoom out, a little imagination exercise here, just for a second. Go back in your life to some moment when you felt like you were truly heard and truly seen. Some tangible way somebody demonstrated that to you. Maybe it was a bright moment, full of joy. Maybe it was a dark moment, and somebody came to you, and they heard you and saw you. And what you feel in that moment, that peace, that contentment, that grounding, that is just a tiny taste of God's love for you at every moment of your life. At every moment, you are heard and seen by God. And when God graces us with that confidence that we are heard and seen, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to put into practice what we hear and see in the scriptures through Paul in the life of Jesus Christ. There's much that needs to be heard and seen right here in Greater Lafayette. I want you to hear that there was a large surge of need in this community last year, and that surge is continuing. There's a chart there that shows a 36% increase in the use of LUM homeless services from 23 to 2024. 2023 was a record. 2024 was a 36% increase. 2025, we are off to the races to exceed 2024. Breaking records, but not the kind of records that we're happy to break. Our LUM protein food pantry, which operates next door at St. John's in partnership with Food Finders, operates every Monday afternoon and Thursday morning, is also breaking records. We're seeing around 100 households every Monday and 100 households every Thursday. People just in dire need of the protein, the produce, and the paper products that we focus on there at this LUM protein food pantry. The LUM youth programs are completely full and have a waiting list and have been that way for 2 or 3 years now. The LUM immigration clinic is maxed out in the number of cases we are able to carry. We have the personnel to carry. The financial assistance program is in as much demand as ever. Last year, we gave out $115,000 in emergency financial assistance for rent and utilities, just seeking to keep people housed. There's going to be even more need in 2025. Do you hear? Do you see? Need is not some abstract concept for someone somewhere else. Need is right here at our doorstep, likely right here within our church family. And I know need can feel overwhelming. I know that this time that we're in feels so uncertain that we just want to hold on to everything we have. But on behalf of your neighbors in need, locally and globally, I urge you to think and to pray. Consider what you have been given in Jesus. Jesus, who gave it all in the very oppressive and uncertain times in which he lived. Are your neighbors heard and seen by you? You hear them and see them at Jubilee Christmas. I testify to that. Thank you. Do you hear and see them throughout the rest of the year? There's a couple more pictures of Jubilee Christmas here at First Christian Church. My predecessor at LUM, Joe Mikon, a big fan of Jubilee Christmas, and he was reflecting one day on the impact of this amazing annual outpouring of generosity. He articulated a challenge that spoke to my heart. Maybe it'll speak to yours. Joe Mikon said, "We should never leave Jubilee Christmas with the self-assured satisfaction that that's the end of it. We should leave with relationships, having learned something new about low-income families and the struggles they face. And then we should use that knowledge to make the world a better place, to maybe vote differently than we did before, to maybe share our dollars in different ways than we did before. Jubilee Christmas should be a transformative experience for the receiver, but perhaps even more for the giver. Heard and seen. The challenge for you and for me is this: to live confidently, compassionately, and generously. Confident we are heard and seen by God, compassionate enough to hear and see the needs of others, and generous to actually meet the practical needs of others so that they too know that they are heard and seen by God through us. God hears you and sees you. You are beloved by God. And God is asking you to hear and see locally and globally. And I ask you, again, on behalf of our neighbors, to share your financial resources and give cheerfully, lavishly, ridiculously, generously to the Week of Compassion offering, knowing that what you give to the poor, you give to God. I know we already passed the plate and that moment is gone. It's not too late. You can still come after the service or go online. Okay, all right, but what's in it for you? Peace. Philippians 4, 8, and 9 has a promise that when we're thinking about what is just and true and honorable and pure and pleasing and commendable, we're focused on that. And we keep on doing the things we have heard and seen in the scriptures, in the life of Jesus Christ, and putting those into practice. Then what happens? The God of peace is with us. God is always with us, of course. But do we always experience him as the God of peace? Do we have his unshakable peace guiding our hearts? I think the scripture here is promising if we think and act as God asks us to, God's peace will radiate in our hearts. This church makes me think of peace. When I was a youth pastor here, the pastor would conclude each Sunday with this same unique benediction. I don't have it word for word, but this is what the part I remember. May the peace of Christ be with you, and may you extend a word of that peace to others that you meet, so that when others see you, they experience Christ living in you. I love that. My siblings in Christ, you are heard, you are seen by God always. So put into practice that same lavish generosity you hear and see in Jesus Christ. Give courageously to the Week of Compassion offering. Give defiantly against the uncertainty of this world. Give compassionately to those who are desperate to be seen and heard. Give as God has given to you. And the God of peace will be with you. Please join me in prayer. God, break through all our defenses, all our uncertainty, all our fear, all our selfishness. Shine again with the bright light of Christ, that we would see again the courageous generosity of our Savior. Shape the desire of our hearts so we would want to imitate that. And whatever we have, be it a lot in the world's eyes or a little in the world's eyes, we give it to you. Give us the grace to give it to you. And we ask you would multiply it to serve the needs of our neighbors right here in Lafayette and our neighbors all around the world. Help us to glorify you by the compassionate lives we live. And we ask you would fulfill your promise. You would give us that peace that passes understanding, that unshakable confidence that you are good and you are in control. And you work all things together for your own glorious purposes. This we ask in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.